worship, yeah. It's still, I don't know how God's going to do that. But he'll just do it. He'll just do it. Just nothing human. It has to be completely God. And the way you get there, and this is what's wrong with the church. Now I'm off on a tangent for a second. What's wrong with the church is they still believe man can do something. And that's why you can't worship. Until you realize worship is not a human thing. People cannot worship. Only people in Christ can worship. In other words, it isn't you plus Jesus, it's just Jesus. And when you submit to him, which means death, when you're dead to yourself, that's when you can worship. You can't worship. If you add anything, and everybody does, so you have to do it by faith. Because you will add your own fingerprint to the thing and take a little pride and a little praise. And you can't say, I didn't have any. You did. That's why it has to be by faith, and that's why it's acceptable. It's acceptable because the sin is still there. The thing that makes the spot acceptable to God is you admit that you have the spot. It's just that it's covered. And that's what pleases him. It doesn't please him that you say, I have no sin. That does not please him. It doesn't please that you say, I'm full of sin. That doesn't please him. What pleases him is that you say, I have sinned and fallen short. However, and that's what pleases him, the however. However, because of the blood of Jesus, I know that all of my works are acceptable in his sight, and which I do in faith then. I'm not going to get rid of my psychological nature. I don't have to get rid of my physical body. I don't need to make any changes. I don't need to be a better wife. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
I don't need to be a better husband. I don't need to be reliable. I don't need to have lived a perfect, holy life. Jesus did that. And what good is he if you don't use him? That's why he did it. He did it for you. He didn't do it for himself. Doesn't want you to be a good wife. Say it, I'm not a good wife. Good. Now, however, in Christ, I can do all things. So, yeah, you can be a wife, but you just have to be a faith wife instead of a real one. You know, you're just pretending when you say, I really love my husband. That's baloney. You don't love your husband in the flesh. You only love your husband in the spirit. And that the church has not come to that. And unfortunately, gosh, I don't know how hard to be. I want to be really hard. The church is lying. They're deceiving the people by pretending that you can do it. That, by the way, is the Pentecostal mistake. Come on, we can do it. That was the Jimmy Swaggart problem. You can do it, brother. Come on, just strengthen yourself. Come on, you can do it. If you've ever been to a Pentecostal youth meeting or sermon or anything else, I'm telling you, they put a lot of weight on willpower. You can do it. You're born again. Come on, you can do it. Well, yeah, you're born again. You still don't do it. It's Christ in you that does it. And it's done by faith. I don't have to feel worship to worship. I don't have to feel sincere or, you know, wonderful. And a lot of religion is trying to make you get into some kind of a mood through the music or, you know, whatever, force you to be phony and fake. You are acceptable as you are. You, right today, you're pure. All you have to do is admit that you're wicked in yourself, but you're pure in him. That's all. That's what makes for pure worship. So why the worship in the churches are not acceptable is because some people will go like this. Gee, I don't feel inspired today. I'm not going to sing. Well, that's because you're in the flesh. Okay, I feel inspired today, so I'm going to sing. See, you're still in the flesh. Either way, you're focused on you and not on God. The finished work of Christ is all you need. But you have to apply that to the spot. I have a white dress on. I'm going to get married. And I got a spot on that. All you got to do is take some blood, apply it to that spot, and you're okay. I got another spot. More blood. Get another spot. Put some more blood. Pretty soon, I'm spotted all over, but I'm completely clean because of my faith. It's faith that makes you acceptable. Faith in his holiness. in his blood that was shed for you, a guilty, rotten, no good person. You see, and then just because you're born again, that's just spiritual. You're born again, but that's just spiritual. You're born again, but that's just spiritual. You're born again, but that's just spiritual. It's not yet mental. It's not yet emotional. It's not yet behavioral. And when you do it yourself, it's just legalistic. You can't clean yourself up. You can't create yourself. You can't redeem yourself. And you can't transform yourself. You can't, you can't, you can't. But what you can do is believe in Jesus. He created you, God the Father. He redeemed you, God the Son. And he transforms you, God the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's God. All glory to God. There's where worship comes from. All glory to God. There's where worship comes from. Worship does not come from you finally being appreciative. Well, I want to express my appreciation to Jesus. You want to? Forget that. You don't want to. You do not want to. You're still selfish and nasty. And why does God leave you in that position? To humble you. And he's either going to find out you're a liar, you know, you're full of pride, or you're full of despair. In either case, you're not a believer. You don't even know what believing means. You're still believing in, okay, I believe that Jesus died for me so that I could get saved, but I'm going to believe in me to clean myself up. That's called witchcraft. Galatians 3. It's witchcraft. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You began in the spirit, but now you're ending in the flesh? You're now going to willpower your way into the kingdom of God? I don't think so. Give the Holy Spirit his due. The Pentecostal movement should have been and could be, and it is for some. Let the Holy Spirit do his job, just like Jesus did his job, just like the Father did his job. Now, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are creator and redeemer and transformer all together. And we usually identify the Father as the creator, the Son as the redeemer, and the Holy Spirit as the transformer, and they're persons. But it's the same God. There's only one God. There's only one God. He may have three persons to him, but he's only one God. Not one person, one God, one God. And whether you like it or not, whether the Jews are impressed with that or not, what do we care? That's their business. They can decide what they want to decide. They'll answer to God someday for what they believe in. How can we know that we're right? Oh, my gosh. I don't know. You just have to make your own decision. Nobody can make a decision for you. I'm completely happy. I can only bear testimony to what I know. I can't make anybody, and I wouldn't make anybody even if they asked me to. I wouldn't do it. You do it yourself. It's your own. You bear your own burden. You bear your own burden. What is that? Well, the burden of guilt, first of all. Guilt, because you're not holy. Second of all, faith. You bear that one. Third of all, you know, a transformed, loving, glorious, worshipful life. But you didn't do any of that. You didn't do anything of that. Whatever you do by faith, right? Without faith, you can't please God. So is everybody clear on all that? That's what Luke is all about, pure worship. Now, I want to go back to the traditional story of Christmas. I don't believe in Christmas. That's the Mass of Christ. I don't believe in that. And I don't believe it's in December. I don't believe in anything. But the truth is, I don't really care. I'm not interested when it was, because if I was interested, God should have made it clear when it was. And I believe there's enough scripture to indicate it was in the spring. But it doesn't matter to me. That is not a big focus, because it isn't for God. If it was, he would have put it down. I was born on April, 15th. Probably was. I mean, I'm just joking, but I'm not. I'm just saying, probably was April 15th, because that's a bad day, and that's probably the day he was really born. And because that's the day a man oppresses, so that's the day he came as the Redeemer to unburden you, because government is oppressive. It's too heavy on us. Everybody knows that government should be light, but it's not. It's heavy. And, we set it up, but that was pure theory. We set it up in a certain way, but it didn't work out that way. Government is all oppressive today. What's the difference between Britain yesterday and Britain today? I mean, we're oppressed again. And so we've lost our way. And it's not somebody's fault, it's your own fault. It's your own fault. You have all the power in the world with God's help, You have all the power in the world to change it if you want to, but you don't want to. Nobody wants to. It's too big. It's too much. It's too great. Come on. What do you mean? It's impossible with man, but it's not impossible with God. But if you don't want to do it, don't do it. You know, and I know why. Nobody wants to suffer. Everybody wants to be in a popularity group. You know, everybody wants, you know, things to go well. But no, you have to suffer. That's the beauty of my life, is to be misunderstood. That is a powerful thing, to accept that no one will ever understand you. It's powerful. I would tell you, it'll make you lonely. It'll make you lonely. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're a leader, if you're a ruler, you have to walk alone. If you're a Christian, he calls you out of your family, out of the world, out of familiar, out of Ur, out of all that you're, you know, comfortable with. And he calls you to the kingdom of God. And I'm totally happy being hated, alone, miserable, beaten down. It means nothing to me. When you're in love, who cares? I'm telling you, you can dump all the stuff you want on me. I'm happy because I'm in love. Once you know that you're loved by God, who cares what people think? What are people? It's like me. I'm a people, an insignificant, stupid, foolish person. Amen. And that doesn't bother me at all. I don't bother me, and no one else bothers me. I'm in love. Are you all in love? I mean, we only love because he first loved us. If he didn't first love you, you wouldn't be loved. Now, let's go back to the traditional story of this season that the world celebrates, the whore church celebrates. Okay. And again, that's not a pejorative for me. It's just a fact. The denominational, traditional churches celebrate it, Catholics, Protestants, etc., at this time of year, and it's okay with me. I like it. I like all this festival stuff. But it could be spring. The reason we don't want it to be in the spring, because that's when we have Easter. So you can't have two holidays at the same time. So we stretch it out for the financial commercial market so they can sell more Christmas cards and stuff like that. But the truth is, nobody knows. Other people put it in the fall. I like that people mess with all these dates because they, I don't know why they do it. There's pride on man's part. Oh, I figured it out. He was born in the spring. Oh, I figured it out. He's born in the fall. Oh, I figured it out. He's actually born on December, you know, 25. That actually was Mithras's birthday. Did you know that? In pagan worship, they used to put a bull up, and they would cut the bull up on four posts and a little platform, and then you would go through it and walk through this platform, and the blood would drip down on you, and that was the baptism into Mithras. Did you all know that? So that's whose birthday it is. I mean, so now it's Jesus. We just said, oh, instead of the bull, we just put Jesus there. And that just represents Nimrod, by the way. The bull is Nimrod. Nimrod is the bull, okay? So bull, bell, Baal. Baal, bell, bull. It's all the same. And so that's December 25th. And that's the dark time of the year, the shortest time of the year, and so on and so forth. But skip all that. Do not be concerned about that and dig up some new theory. Ah, I figured it out. The Catholic Church is demonic and evil because, look, they did this. And they just baptized paganism. So what? The point is, you have the Bible. You don't really need to worry about when it was. If God wanted you to know, he wouldn't have left room for paganism. He doesn't mind paganism. God is not bothered by paganism. How many know he put the tree in the middle of the garden so you'd walk by it every day and be tempted, and then he knew you would sin? How many know that he knew you would sin before he created you? He knows everything. So if he knew you were going to sin, then why didn't he make it so you couldn't? Why didn't he hide his tree in a closet? Did he want you to sin? No, he didn't want you to sin, but he knew you would. Do you want your children to sin? No, but you know they will. I don't know what the problem is here. I don't know why you can't figure that out. Has there ever been a child that hasn't sinned? Never. They all do. They all do. And you know that. You don't have to have one to say, well, I hope this one doesn't. Okay, just wait around. It won't be long. About 3 seconds when they come into the world, they go like this. Ah! you know, and, you know, they're already selfish. Like, I don't like this place, you know, but put me back where I was. So people are unhappy the minute they come into this world. Hello? I mean, the moment they come in, I love that. That is, you never change from that. Kind of like, let the whole world take care of me. You know, I want comfort. Please, I'm a victim. That little baby's crying out, please, I'm a helpless victim. Could you help me, please? And that little child is just crying out. They're not cute. They're ugly. When they come out, they're ugly. They're bloody and purple. One of ours was purple. That's because the cord, you know, was all wrapped wrong and all that stuff. And it's like, that was the first one I got to see. Whoa. And then the nurse wanted to hand it to me. I don't want to touch that bloody purple thing. Was that Margaret or who was that? Margaret? Yeah, she has a bloody one.
Oh. Tell us the details, people.
Yeah. It wasn't that exciting for me. You know, you put it over there on a table. Put it on a table. Wash that thing off. I wouldn't make a good anything. Anyway. But Jesus deliberately came into this world, this kind of world, deliberately came in on purpose by God's will to love you, to give you unconditional love. And he put up with everything. He didn't say, now, give my son some special attention. No, he didn't give him special attention. He said, you know, just go down there and experience normal life. People will hate you, because God by foreknowledge could tell them ahead of time, hey, read the script. I wrote it down in the book. Read the script. They hated me without a cause. They're going to hate you. One of the reasons is you're going to go to your own people. How many know that when you're really hated, it's by your own people? I mean, if you want to be hated in your own family. You don't even need an extended family. Just your own immediate nuclear family can hate. I mean, those people can hate more than some enemy. The people that you trust and that you love and that you look to. I mean, that's one of the disappointments of children. They grow up in the family and they go ahead and commit their love long before they know anything. And then they regret that for the rest of their lives. You don't think it's funny. You don't see it. You don't see it. Little kids get disappointed in their parents. I thought you were perfect. I gave you all my love without knowing too much, you know. And now I'm disappointed. And they become ashamed of you. They become critical and so on and so forth. Hey, come on, it's normal. It's normal. It's normal. It's normal. It's just normal. But that's okay. They grow up eventually, you know, 30, 40, 50. They'll get it. They'll eventually get it. Sometimes after you're dead, they get it. Oh, yeah, you know, there was a good thing about my parents. You don't expect them to thank you in this world. Sometimes they do. It's usually through cards. You can tell it, you know, Christmas cards or birthday cards or something. They'll tell you. You're the perfect parent. And that's the only way you'll ever know is through one of those cards. And the only reason is that is because that's what they write in those cards. So they're just buying one. They're looking for the joke ones, but, you know. So that's how you find out. She really does love me perfectly. Well, it's a faith statement. And it's emotional. It's an emotional statement. I wish you were like this. So, y'all don't enjoy sin. Sin is a normal thing. I mean, know that God made mankind, put the tree in the middle of the garden, knew everybody was going to go and get it, and, you know, had a plan prior to the tree. There is something prior to the tree. Jesus was in the wings. Wait. And he was the foundation, that rock, that stone, that precious cornerstone laid before the world was even created. God had that there sitting on nothing. Everything was built onto him. He wasn't built onto something. He was the something everything was built upon. Without him was not anything made that was made. Everything was made by him. Not just with him, but by him. It isn't that the Father made us. The Father made us through the Word, through the Son. He spoke, and it came into being. Amen? So, anyway, so it kind of like Jesus, wait, they haven't sinned yet. Wait, Adam and Eve haven't gotten to it yet. Give them an hour. Give them a couple hours here. And then they said, okay, should I go now and save them? No, let's wait 4,000 years. Just hold it, cool it. So Jesus is there playing his harp the whole time for 4,000 years, waiting for that moment when he could come down and be born of the Virgin and so on and so forth. But up in heaven, he was having a good time. I mean, no, the Logos became flesh. The Logos, the Word. You weren't Logos beforehand becoming something. You, when you came into the world, that was the first time you hit this place. You know, you didn't make it, and you didn't know about it, and you didn't have any prior life. You aren't reincarnated from something else. Okay? So when Jesus came to earth, he was the Word. He was God. And arche eno logos proston thean. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Okay, so he actually was God. Then he became flesh, and the Word became flesh. Logos became sarx. So that whole story is real interesting, and to me it's everything. To me it's just absolutely everything. It's not like a sermon or a message or something I get paid to say. I say the same thing all the time. But you have to understand what Jesus came to do. Do I have a board? I don't need it. Okay, now, Son of Man is different than Son of God. How many know there's a difference in man, God? Son of something and son of something. So people write books on it and so on, but you probably never read any of those books. But anyway, they're trying to figure out who the Son of Man is and who's the Son of God. Was Jesus the Son of Man or the Son of God or both? Right? And so everybody knows the answer is both. What does it mean? What is a Son of Man and what's a Son of God? Because it has everything to do with the incarnation. It has everything to do with, did he come as Son of Man or did he come as Son of God? So, now, in the Old Testament, there is a passage in Hebrew. And I'm going to give it to you in Hebrew because I want you to know what the words say. And you can't get it in English. You can't see it. I'll say it in English, but unless you understand the Hebrew language, you won't see the richness of it. You will read it just like a Sunday school kid reads it, and get no meaning out of it. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So three words in there are really important. Virgin, it doesn't say virgin. Shall conceive, that means in the future. Conceive, that means pregnant, get pregnant. Shall get pregnant. And then 9 months, and then a lot of travail and pain, and then baby born. So you see that? And it'll be a son. And shall call his name Jesus. Is that what it said? No. It didn't say Jesus. His name was not Jesus. I mean, that's what Mary called him, because the angel told her to call him that. But here in the Old Testament it says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Well, Emmanuel means, and the Bible even translates it, God with us. God with us. So, Emmanuel, the E part of that, E-M, is the imminent one, or the one that comes, okay, with us, okay? And the L at the end, that means God. God with us. With us, God. God with us. So his name is going to be, God's actually with us, not just a man. So he is Son of God. So he is Son of God. But how can Son of God come downstairs? How can Son of God get down here? How does he get down here? Well, he can go any way he wants to because he's the Son of God. He can do anything he wants to do. He can create a world. He can surely get incarnated in flesh and do it. But that's the way he chose, was to come down and be born as a baby. So that's why the Jehovah Witnesses get all messed up and think Jesus was created. Jesus was not created. Jesus was always Logos, eternal, forever. He wasn't a secondary God or a third-dary Holy Spirit God or something. He's God. He's forever. He's eternal. He's just as much God as God is God. Because there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the God is the one. And the fact that you're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, notice that the verb name is singular. But Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not singular. They're different. One, two, three. And that agrees with Elohim in the beginning of the Bible. Bereshit bara Elohim, third word. The third word is the plural, and the bara, the second word, is singular. So the verb is singular and the noun is plural. In other words, God in his pluralness singularly one thing does this, creates heaven and earth, and so on. So, and that's all the way through the Bible. So the Jews are mad at that because they want to emphasize the one, and the Christians are happy because they figured out the secret and they know that there's three, and so on and so forth. But the truth is, that mystery is not a mystery to us. There's no mystery. God is one and many, is both. But the many is three. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's it. So it's always that way. And even in the Old Testament, it's there all over the place. You know, it says, and do you know God's Son? Obviously, he's got a son. So, and not only that, he's the only begotten son. It's not like he has Satan as one of his sons. That's another whole theology there about Satan being a second son. No, Satan's not one of his sons. Satan's an angel. Jesus is not the archangel Michael. He's not an angel. He's above the angels. You're above the angels. You were created lower, but you're going to ascend higher. Because your destiny, you got a second birth. Now, those that are natural born are still lower. But those that are born again, like y'all, I hope everybody here is born again. If you're not, get born again. You know, it's not hard. You just have to believe the words. You don't have to come forward and make promises and so on and so forth and lie to the whole congregation. You just simply believe. You just simply believe. Amen. Every eye closed and every head bowed. And so we don't have to do that. Okay? So you just simply believe. This is the truth. And the way you come to this truth is hear it over and over again until you believe it. You don't fancy it up and improve it. And you know, you just say the same thing over and over again until somebody believes it. And that's easy, because the only reason you wouldn't believe it is because you believe something else, a lie. And pretty soon, if you hear the truth enough, you might believe it. But you don't have to. There's no necessity. Totally your decision. If you're having a good time on your own, you don't need God. Keep going on your own. You're making a fine God out of yourself. But if you bog down, as I did, if you bog down after a while and you realize there are a few things I don't know, if you get to that point, you may want to look in on the God thing to see whether or not you are God or there might be another one. Because you didn't create yourself. You didn't redeem yourself. You can't transform yourself. You can't do nothing. You can't do nothing. That's a double negative, but I'm making that point. That's the way Texans talk. So since you can't do nothing, you got to figure out who can do something. And it's Jesus, and he's done it all. He isn't going to do it. He's already done it. You say, well, I haven't seen everything yet. Well, seeing it doesn't have anything to do with being. Seeing has nothing to do with being. In heaven, everything's done. In heaven, there isn't any time and space. So all that sin stuff is just meaning you're living as though there wasn't a finish, as though there was some, you know, other way to go. It's only because you have liberty. So in time and space, you're choosing this way and that way and so on and so forth. But God's already chosen you before the foundation of the world. He chose you. And as far as he's concerned, you can come in. But he doesn't make you a Christian. Presbyterians are wrong. So Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong. Presbyterians are wrong. Catholics are wrong. Jews are wrong. Everybody's wrong. But Jesus is right. So in the Bible, if you get a hold of it, it's very powerful. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. So I hope a lot of you experimented with witchcraft, Satanism, and whatnot to try to figure out if there's another way, because there ain't. And I love witchcraft people, because sooner or later, they're going to fall apart. I love Satanists, because sooner or later, they're going to fall apart. I love all the heresies and strange teachings and so on. And I know a bunch of you have been into a bunch of that stuff. It's okay. No big deal. You know, go for it. You know, try it out. God put the tree in the garden so that everybody would walk by it and be tempted. Now, he didn't say, I want them to eat of the tree. He said, I don't want you to eat of the tree. But he knew you would. How many know there's a difference between wanting something and then knowing? You know, I don't want you to eat this cookie. Now, you leave it here. It's for the Christmas party that's coming up. Just leave these cookies right here and don't touch them. If that's a three-year-old, they will touch them. Especially if you say, look, I'm going to be gone for just a couple minutes. I'm going to be going next door. I'll be right back. You just leave it right there. Or I'm going in the other room and going to talk to Mabel on the phone. You know, whatever. That child is going to go for that cookie. Because you cannot put a cookie like that in front of a child without knowing what they're going to do. How many know that they're going to do it? They just have to do it. They have to. They're just curious. They're not evil. They're just evil. Little kids are just evil because you just told them these words, do not. And you look right at them. Do not do that. Okay. And little kids are just going to do it. How many know every little kid in the world is going to experiment? You know, the only difference is, in our case, I tricked my kids. I tricked them. I'm sorry, but I learned it from God. A little trick I learned from God is tell them no, but understand they will. So I made it so that I made the battle so that it wasn't, you know, sleeping with boys or, you know, getting boozed up or whatever. I made it so that it was eating candy and wearing mascara, knowing that I would lose those deals. And my kids were so excited when they were 18, not to sleep with somebody, but just to eat candy. And my kids were way off because I messed them up by telling them, boy, you do not wear lipstick or, you know, whatever the thing was. It wasn't lipstick, it was mascara. You do not. And I made that the battle. So my kids were not even focused on boys and booze. They were just focused on mascara and candy. I messed them up. But they fought just as hard to get that liberty as though, do you understand what I'm saying? I learned that out of the Bible. They had the same battle. They sinned just as much. They were just as guilty, but it was over an insignificant thing. And they haven't caught on to this day. My kids still don't know how to raise kids. They don't know how to do it. They don't know what trick I played on them, because mother's straightforward, but I'm totally devious. But I learned that deviousness from God. He put the tree there knowing they were going to eat of it, so that he could bring Jesus forth. You see, you know why I did that? I did that so I could show mercy to my kids. That's why I did it. I did it so that they would get guilty right away. I did it so they'd get guilty. How many know if you give a child a law, they'll break it? Any law. They'll break it. You say, well, no, I gave a law to so-and-so, and they did just what I said. Yeah, legalistically. That means they're weak. That means they don't have any health. Because they're sick. They just did what you said. But they didn't do it from the heart. Yes, there could be a child that wouldn't eat the cookie, but that child's going to be messed up for the rest of their lives. That's an emotional mess right there. You know, Mommy, I didn't eat the cookie. He did. You see, right away, they're excusing themselves as though they're innocent, and they're accusing their brother and sister. Mommy, he ate the cookie. He ate two of them. You know, then you just messed up that whole family. How many know that laws are going to be broken? If you don't have any laws, there won't be any sin. That's so simple. That's why Jesus came and said, okay, I keep the law, but I keep it. And I give you a free gift. Under the tree, you'll find a present. And it's not there because you're naughty or nice. It's there because you're mine. And it's free. It's unconditional. It's got your name on it. How many know that little children, they're told at Christmas, now, you behave yourself, because if you don't, you're not going to get anything. The little kid is just like, oh, my God, I have to be good. And so they will lie to you, whatever. Now, did you do anything wrong? No, because they don't want to lose the present. So kids are motivated by not losing the present or not getting a spanking. I mean, you can motivate kids out of fear and out of, scaring them. So when you tell them you have to be good, a lot of kids will go, Mommy, I was good, so I get a present. God does not give presents to people that deserve them. God gives presents to people that don't deserve them. Everybody under the gift there, the reason it's a gift is because you can't earn it. The only reason it's a gift is because you can't earn it. What can a little kid do to earn that? Be good? That's a parent trick. You will not see God giving any gifts to people that deserve them. You will never see God doing that. Why should Peggy be any good? I don't want her to be good. I want her to be mean and nasty and selfish. And sure enough, I'm blessed. I got just the wife I want. I don't want a wife that's, anything I want her to be. I want her to be everything I don't want her to be. I don't care what she is. She's my wife. God gave me to her. That's it. I thank God for her just the way she is. She can be, I won't say the word, but she can be mean. I wouldn't say the word that would be accurate. But you know what? I like that. I like it. She's full of vim and vinegar. You think of Peggy as nice and sweet because she's a liar and a phony to you, but she's not at home. She's not at home. She's mean and nasty. And she loves it. I'm telling you, she loves it because it's the first place she can be wicked and she's okay. She can get away with it. Y'all see that? Y'all understand that? That's very powerful. And our religion is the only religion in the world. And they've transformed it, but I'm untransforming it. I'm demythologizing the mythologizers. But they've transformed it. Our religion is the only one that says, I take sinners. Every other religion wants you to go the eightfold way, or, you know, bow five times a day, or put a bomb on your body, or you got to do something. This is the only religion where God doesn't want you to do anything. He goes, please don't do anything. don't do anything. Don't help me. I mean, know that God doesn't want your help in creating the world. God, I don't know how you made the world without me. You know, it was easy for God because you weren't there. What about redeeming the world? No, you didn't help there either. You didn't help there either. In fact, you were the guilty one. You weren't the innocent victim that was trying to say, Jesus, if you'd only come and save us all, really be helpful, be kind on your part. No, you were wicked to the hilt. That's why he came. The reason he forgave you is not because you were lovable. It's because you weren't lovable. You were the reason that he came. You were the cause, you know. He separated you from the snake. How many know that the snake is different than you? Immediately came to Adam. Adam, did you do wrong? No, thank you. Eve, did you do wrong? He said you did it. Yeah, but I didn't. It's a snake. Okay, snake, cursed be you. You notice the difference there? Is there a difference or what? Do you all see the difference? He didn't curse Adam. He didn't curse Eve. Cursed be the ground. Hey, come on, that's not as bad as being cursed. Just the ground. You know, and childbirth will be painful. So a virgin, the word in the Hebrew is Alma. Say it, Alma. Alma. Alma is not a virgin. It is a virgin, but it's not. There's another word for virgin. Virgin, this kind of virgin, is a special, unique kind of virgin. This means someone who's betrothed, who's already married, but isn't yet consummated. You've already been married, you're man and wife, but you haven't consummated. And this took place for at least a year. If you were a Hebrew, you can see it in Fiddler on the Roof if you want. If you were a Hebrew, your parents set up a deal. Your two dads came together, drank a little wine, paid some money, and bought you, sold you. And then you're already man and wife, but you don't come together physically. And I'm telling you, that will discipline you for a whole year. For a whole year, at least. It could be longer. While you're being tested. So now you're committed to somebody, but you're not yet emotionally or physically in bondage to that person. That's what dating and most engagement is all about. And then people slip. That's because we violated God's original idea of Alma. An Alma was a woman who was already married to a man, but wasn't yet consummated. Just like Mary and Joseph, which we'll see in a second. Mary and Joseph, she was an Alma. That's why it's a miracle, because virgins don't have babies. If you're a virgin and you have a baby, you're not a virgin anymore. You just had a baby. That means somebody impregnated you. And in human terms, it's a human. That's just what it is. It's not a turtle. It's not, you know, a rock. And it's not God. So that's a miracle that a virgin shall conceive. A virgin shall be impregnated. Then they're no longer virgin. The minute you're impregnated, you're not a virgin. Someone has done something to put a seed, zara, to put a seed in you, to sperm into you, to put into you, and you catch hold of it. The egg is able to form because the sperm came and something happened and you kind of caught hold of one out of the millions and millions of little sperms fighting their way to see which one will get there first. But whatever it is, God said, here's the miracle. I'm going to give you this sign. A virgin shall conceive. That's an Alma. Someone who's married, not just virgin. Someone who's married and is not consummated yet. Has had no relations with a man. So the thing that would be born in Mary would be holy. Because it isn't of man. Mary had the baby without the help of any man. Now, that is a miracle, and it has never happened in the history of the world except one time. One time it happened. It has never happened ever ever, and it never will. Are you all following me? It doesn't just come through the air. It doesn't come through kissing. You know, it's a special way in which it comes, and it always comes in that special way. But, you know, David said, in sin did my mother conceive me, impregnate me. When my dad, Jesse, had me with my mom, it was in sin. There was lust involved. You know, and that's how I got into the world. So he was not holy. King David was flesh, like us. His parents were flesh. He was flesh. Flesh produces flesh. But Mary is an exception because of the Old Testament prophecy through Isaiah, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse. Behold, a woman, a young woman, but it says Alma, virgin who's married but not yet consummated, will conceive. Now, the word for conceive is a special, it's a special word, and that word, hara, that word means impregnated or conception or the seed goes in. That's what, that's all that means. And it's used in the Bible, Genesis 1:4, fourth verse in the Bible, okay? It's used in the Bible. That right away, that Adam and Eve are going to conceive and bear. You have to conceive in order to bear. You can't have anything born unless you first conceive, wait the 9 months or whatever the month period is. And when it's full, there'll be some travail, there'll be some pain. Remember, Adam was told, okay, you sin, the ground is going to be tough. She sinned, so she's going to have childbirth pains and so on. So that's the way. You don't just have them come out easy. Now, my daughter, Kara, she did. She had her first birth. It was a couple hours. Phew, she was just, yep, there it was. You know, so she thought, hey, this thing's not so bad what they're talking about. Well, that was just her first child. She's had seven since then. And or, you know, that was her first out of seven. But, you know, they're not all that easy. Sometimes they last for days and days. And you can be in pain a long time. Amen? No? Not her. No, she's Christian. I'll tell you, Kara is funny. She is funny. She goes, Dad, you just asked Jesus. But other people have just asked Jesus. They're having pain, I'm telling you, you know. But anyway, she is calm. I'll tell you what, she's cool. If you've ever met her, she's neat. She's just neat. Girl, she prays about everything. And, you know, so she believed every word I ever said. It's just amazing. It really is. Peggy doesn't like me saying that. But anyway, she's a true believer. And the other kids think she's weird. They do. They don't measure up. They don't measure up to her. Because she's just so light about it. Well, you just pray to Jesus. Well, if you just were happy. She'll just rifle you. So the other kids go, well, it isn't that easy. Well, it is, if you ask Jesus, if you were sincere. So she's a bit legalistic. Nevertheless, you know, she's a bit legalistic, you know, but I like her. And she's having a good time. And David's kind of like that. David, my son, he's so cool, so laid back. Have you ever met David? Man, he is not upset about anything. He just goes, Dad, don't worry about it. Jesus will take care of it. It's very similar. The other two, they're not so like that. You know, the other two are a little different. If you meet Kirsten and Margaret, they have a little sarcasm in them and a little bit of bitterness and so on. And, you know, your kids are all different. Has anybody noticed that? The kids are not all the same. Have you ever noticed that? You come up with different ones. They're not all alike. But if you get that first child, you get all the rest for free. Get the first child. Break the first child. And if you don't break the first child, it might be harder for the second and third and fourth, you know. But sometimes that second one, I tell you, sometimes that second child who's, you know, in a weird position, because they're not the oldest, but yet they get spoiled as soon as they come into the world, so they don't really know who they are. They're trying to figure out who they are. And, oh, my God, I hope they're not the middle child. Because if somebody else comes after that, the first child will resent the second, but the second child will resent the third. And the third child just love being spoiled. So always your third and fourth, they're spoiled. They're just spoiled, that's all. So it's you know, isn't God interesting how he makes life interesting, that you can't figure it? You just cannot figure it. There's no way to figure it. So he made you. He didn't make you sinful, but he did make you imperfect. I'm going to say it again. He didn't make you sinful, but he did make you imperfect. You're not perfect. You're innocent before you sin. You're innocent. But yeah, you're not guilty. However, as soon as you say a word or do a deed, you'll be guilty. And because your knowledge is not perfect, how many know that you're going to eat of that tree? You're going to pretend like you have knowledge that you don't have. Hey, I know what I'm doing. And I love that. That starts so early in life. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. All right, who is this son? And shall call his name God with us. Why God with us? Because it's actually God. Jesus was, that was why he was unique. He had to be born of a virgin. He couldn't be born of a human father, because that which is of flesh is flesh. So he was born of a human mother that just simply was impregnated, not by any man. So it doesn't have Adam's sin. So there's no male impregnation. So who impregnates her? God the Father. Oh my gosh. Nobody'd ever had one of those. That was weird. And when she told Joseph, he just rejected her. Yeah, sure. You know, I mean, that was not, you know, he had not even read the Christmas cards, obviously. He had not even looked at those. Because he was supposed to say, it's okay, sweetheart, I know it's from God. But he didn't. He had the same human reaction we would have. No. You've done wrong, Mary. I trusted you and believed in you. Golly. No, I'm not marrying you. I'll just put you away privately. I don't have to publicly get you stoned. But I'm telling you what, I mean, yeah, that's a big disappointment to me. No, Joseph, I'm trying to tell you something. It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Well, I've never had that one before, but, you know, it's a cool one, but I'm not buying that. And so the angel had to come and visit Joseph and talk to him. Joseph, what I told her is true, that this is a holy baby. This child will be holy because read the Old Testament. Just look at the Old Testament. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's this one. Only his name is going to be Jesus, Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach. Why? Because Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew is Jesus the Christ. It's the same thing. Yeshua HaMashiach. It's just the Hebrew way of saying Jesus the Christ or Jesus Christ. So when he comes, he will not be a man. He will be a man because he's born of a woman. But he won't be a man because he's also the Son of God. So he's the Son of God who becomes the Son of Man. If you're not a Son of God, you cannot become a Son of Man. Now, what is the Son of Man? That's the Messiah. What is the Messiah? That's a priest king. Son of God is holy. No human being is holy. Jesus is unique, the only one, the only begotten of his Father. No one else is holy. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's only one that hasn't, Jesus. So here's one man who is not like any other man because he's holy, and that's why as Son of God, who's holy, he can become the Son of Man, which is the king. But before he's a king, he not only has to be holy, Son of God, but he also has to be priest, Savior, both. Now, as Savior, that's the words he says. That's why he came. He came to be a Savior so he could come back and be the Lord. When he was on the earth, he had some disciples and he was called their Lord or their master. But how many know they never understood him? The whole time they were clueless. They knew, they called him master, but he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? What? No, we're following you around. Come on. Yeah, but it's not from the heart. You're just doing it. And one day he asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you have any, who do men say that I am? I, the Son of Man. He doesn't call himself Son of God. He says, I, the Son of Man. Who do they say the Son of Man is? Listen to Peter's answer. The Messiah, we know who that is you, the Son of the living God. So he said, you're Son of Man and Son of God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't show you that. You didn't figure that out. You had to read the Scripture, and my Father in heaven revealed the meaning of that Scripture to you, And that's how you blurted that out. But you are not, you don't even know. You have no knowledge at all, because in the next sentence, you're going to say something stupid. And he did. And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." I mean, here's the guy that had the first revelation, first guy in the world, first guy to ever know who Jesus was. John the Baptist didn't even know. John the Baptist said, "Well, I can't quite, and are you the guy? Are you the one? The Messiah?" He didn't have a clue. John the Baptist didn't have a clue. Now, we don't know exactly what all those scriptures mean, but you're the guy, right? Because I'm going to lose my head over this thing. It'd be good to know. You know, I mean, I remember when I first became interested in Christianity, I thought to myself, well, I'm not really a Christian. But if they asked for all the real Christians to stand up and be shot, I probably would stand up and I'd be shot for nothing. Because I'm not really that much of a, I don't even know if I'm really believing. You know what I mean? But I'm not a Buddhist and I'm not something else. So if they said, you know, all the Christians line up, I'd probably get shot. So I thought, you know, it'd be better if I actually knew the guy and loved him and was sincere, because I'm not. And I knew that. I knew I was a phony. Has anyone else ever been a phony Christian? You know, I was a phony for quite a while. But I knew I wasn't into something else. So I guess I'm a Christian. I'm from the Western world, so I'm probably a Christian. I'm not a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim or something. So I'm probably a Christian. And I would actually have died for a Jesus that I didn't even know personally. Has anybody else ever been in that situation? And then I was a pastor for years without being a Christian. And you can be a pastor without being a Christian. Is anyone aware of that? And I was. I was a good one, too. Actually, people liked what I said. And I gave great messages and so on. It worked. I'll just tell you, as a practical thing. But I knew deep down, deep down inside, I was phony and fake. And I got up in 1970, whenever. And I got up at some point. And I just told her, hey, by the way, I'm a phony, I'm a fake, I'm a liar. And I may be the first minister who's ever done this. I don't know if anyone else has ever done it, but I'm going to do it. And so I just wanted to let you know so you have a fair shot at this thing. You don't need to stay here because I don't believe in God. I believe, I know about him, but it's not a personal love affair thing. I mean, I'm not like the guys in the Bible. I've read them. I'm not like those guys. And if you're not one of those guys, you're not really a Christian. So I don't know what I am. I'm still a pagan because I can tell the stuff I think and feel and want pretty pagan. I don't want to pray all the time to Jesus, and I don't want to read my Bible all the time and so on. I just do that for a living. I just do that because the collection partly goes to me. That's it. You know, I mean, I mean, I hate to admit that, but I just got up and I admitted it. I just said, you know, I'm a complete phony, a fake, not real, hypocrite, liar, whatever. But I just want to challenge y'all. And I remember saying this to the whole congregation. I've been here for a year or so, and the honeymoon's over kind of thing. I'll just tell you, if you think you're a Christian, a real Christian, not a phony fake like I am, if you think you're better than me, stand up right now on your chair. I mean, I want to see who you are, because I'm going to rifle you. I'm going to examine you before the whole congregation, because I think you're all phony like I am. I don't think any of you rejoice always. I don't think any of you are forgiving and loving. I don't think any of you are anything more than fake like I am. So, you know, before you throw a rock at me, which I don't mind, because I'd rather do something else anyway. But I'll tell you what, I believe God, you know, I believe that God, whom I don't even know if he exists, but I believe he's worth hunting for, and I'm going to hunt for him while I'm a pastor. So I could ruin this old church easily, but I just thought I'd give you a fair shot at that. And, you know, two people left, two families, the Balls and the Fierkas, I remember that. And I told them, you know, look, I know all the churches in town. I can help you go to the one that's just fit for you. You'll like it. It'll be fake and phony and so on and so forth. You'll love it. They'll say all the stuff you want to say. But in this church, it's going to be rough. It's going to be hell to pay, because I'm going to be hunting for Jesus. And I just feel if there isn't a God, I'm going to tell on him. And if there is, I'm going to declare him. So that's what happened in 70 or whatever it was. And, you know, it was tough, because the people who stayed then had to decide, you know, should we stay with a pastor who doesn't even believe in God? I mean, it's kind of hard to explain. And he not only doesn't believe, he's telling everybody he doesn't. I'm going to tell you, most ministers do not believe in God. Most. Most. From any background. They're hypocrites and liars and phonies and fakes just like I was. But I got up and said so. I just said, you know, I don't want to deceive you anymore. Not that I'm noble. It's just that I just don't want to. And so I'm going to go on a hunt, and I'm going to be, I'm going to still carry on the form, fake it like that. But deep down inside, I just want you to know, I don't really believe in this God. Because I'm not in love with him. He is not my whole life. I manipulate this word to fit me. And I think the word is supposed to dominate me. So when Jesus came into the world, he was really different than everybody else. He never sinned. I sinned all the time. I sinned all the time, and I wasn't always sorry. It would say in the Bible, don't rejoice when evil happens. And people would get evil things, and I'd laugh. To me, it was like, good. That's what that person deserved. I loved it. And I knew that was wrong. But I did all kinds of things that were wrong. I didn't rejoice always. How many are sinful like I am? How many are phony and fake like I am? You know, it says in the Bible, rejoice always, and I didn't do it. Is there anybody here who doesn't rejoice always? Yeah, see, you're a liar. You're a phony. You're a fake. You're not a real Christian. Forgive your enemies. How many here forgive all your enemies? No, you're a liar. See, you're phony. You're fake. Well, I just got up and said so. Because I held the standard so high. Whatever I read, I said, this standard is way too high for a human being. And a guy would have to be dead to do this. You know, there's no way. I'm live as can be. I'm a live wire. I'm alive. I'm not at all in love with Jesus. I'm in love with Jim. And I just got up and confessed that. So I felt a lot better after that. The people probably hated it, but I felt a lot better. And there's a couple of people who are still with me from that original church. Peggy's one of them. Of course, she had to be. She had to do that. All right. And so this Luke passage is so, I love this Luke passage. It's picking up on that Old Testament thing that a virgin shall conceive. So let's look at it. This, first of all, you have to get into the Elizabeth thing. Remember Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mom? Okay, he's 6 months older. So here's what happens. Luke 1:13. Luke 1:13. All right. So here's what it says. Epen de pros auton ho angelos. But said to him, the angel. So this is the angel speaking to Zechariah, the father. And he happened to be a priest. So this is a unique family. Do not be afraid, me phobon, Zechariah. For what was heard, your prayer, God heard it. And your wife, Elizabeth, Elizabeth, Beit is house, will bear, Genese, so will bear a son to you. In other words, he'll be born. Bear means birth. Now, you can say conception is a bearing of a seed, but the child itself, the son, the daughter, that's called born, and that's a different word. So they have different words in here. So if something comes into being, you can't tell, is it just conceived or is it already birthed out after the nine-month period? So all it says in here is something came into being, geneo. So that's what it said right there. And will bear a son. That means you'll birth one. And you will call his name John. And he will be a joy to you. And the word for joy is Kara. It's the name of our firstborn daughter, Kara. And I prayed to God, not out of the Greek. I just simply prayed, God, what should be your name? Kara. Oh, okay. So I told Peggy, you know, we're going to name her Kara. And as far as I know, there never was a Kara, you know, at all. But as the name that he gave me, and I didn't know what it meant. And I read this later, and I went, wow. K-H-A-R-A, and there are many since then. C-A-R-A, K-A-R-A, K-H-A-R-A. But that, as far as I know, we were the first, but it doesn't make any difference. But that's just what I prayed. God, I want a name, and I don't want it to be just an ordinary name. Give me one of your names. You know, give me a holy name. Because I was not a Christian at that point, and I knew I had about 2 years before I could fake her out, before she could figure me out. And I figured, you know, I'm gonna say the right thing as a phony and as a fake. But then I hope I become a Christian between now and when she catches me. Because it takes them a while. Those little kids believe in you for a while because they can't speak or talk and they're just looking at you and they don't know anything. But after a while, after about, you know, a year and a half or two, they catch you. They start to see what a phony and a fake you are. And I was a big phony and a big fake. And I knew that, you know, sooner or later they'd catch me or Peg would tell on me or something. You know, but it would be obvious. Hello? Do you all see that? I mean, that is powerful. I mean, Peggy was my worst critic. She was my worst critic. In other words, she actually told the truth. If I would say something, she'd say, well, you're not Christian. I loved it. Peg, I'm a pastor. Yeah, but you're not a Christian. Well, I know, but don't say anything. That's your bread and butter. You know, just keep quiet. Just don't say anything. Well, she said, well, you should be a Christian. You know, either get in or get out. What a great wife. Do you see that? She was emasculating me, tearing me down, you know, berating me, criticizing me. I loved it. That's exactly the kind of wife you want. Do you all see this? Is it not a miracle? Come on, don't be offended. It's just a real story. Jesus is good. I will put myself up to any human being on earth. I love Jesus as much as and more than any other man. I don't care who you are, because I actually fell in love with him. It's a miracle. This guy really is God for me. And I threw away my life. I just tossed it into the trash and said, from now on, I burn all my bridges. I don't have any friends or anything. I'm going for Jesus, the kingdom of God. And I tell you what, it's such a blessing. I haven't been hurt by that. I've been blessed beyond measure. You know what it says in the Bible? See, I took the Bible literally. That's why I didn't like it. I just took it literally. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. I was seeking everything else. Get the kingdom of God. If I had some leftovers, give it to the kingdom of God. No problem. But he was saying, no, seek first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. How many know that as a young person, you don't want to seek first the kingdom? As a middle-aged person, you don't want to seek first the kingdom. You got your family to raise and, you know, food to put on the table. And when you're an old person, it's too late, so you don't want. So nobody ever gets around to seeking first the kingdom. And people that say they do are liars and phonies and fakes. So I just got up early and said it. Oh, I'm a liar, phony, fake. And I like being a minister because there's no expectations. You know, as long as I basically marry and bury and baptize and confirm and so on, I'll be okay. And that's all people wanted out of me. And that's easy. What a piece of cake. It's so easy to be a minister. You have nothing to do all week long. You basically just marry, bury, baptize, and confirm. It's over. You know, and that was all that the Lutheran Church, of which I was a part, expected of me. You know, just do those professional things. Preach a little message on Sunday, you know, pick it out of, you know, you can read it out of books if you want. And then everything was in the hymnal. As a Lutheran, you didn't make up any prayers or you didn't have to be genuine or real or anything. You just read it out of the book. Kyrie eleison. You know, and you just read that stuff. Gloria in excelsis Deo. You know, and I was good at that. I was a great actor. Oh, I loved acting. I love being phony. Are you an actor? Are you a phony? Amen. I love it. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed taking on different personalities and so on. I could be anything I wanted to be. Did you know you can do that as an actor? You can just fake it. Just invent yourself. Just, you know, whatever you need to do for whatever you want to get. Just do it. It's a salesman. It's another word for salesman. Are there any salesmen in there? You know. And so if people want gods, I'll be a god. If you want, you know, whatever you want, I can do it. Now, this virgin that came into the world was preceded not by a virgin having a baby. Elizabeth had Zacharias. What a contrast. She conceived and bore a son and called his name John. Okay, now listen to this story because it's a contrast. She conceives, she's impregnated by her husband, human sperm, Zara. The human seed was put into her. And seed bears after its own kind, right? So since she was John's son, that would be John Johnson. Did you see that? That would be Johnson. So that was John's son. So Zechariah, and they even said to him, don't you want him to be called your son? Name him after yourself, Zechariah's son. No, he didn't want to be Zechariah's son. He wanted to be Swedish. No, I want to be Swedish. So he was Swedish, Johnson. And so, but they said, well, that's not your name. And that's not your father's name. Why, where'd you come up with that name? I don't know. That's what the Lord told me to name him. The one that told me, that answered the prayer, Gabriel, that's what he said. Gabriel gives names out. You know, he hands out names to people. Here, call your name John, son. And here's what he's going to do. Let's see, where am I here? 14. And he will be a joy to you, Kara, and gladness, and many at the birth of him will rejoice. So he will be a joy and gladness to you. How many know that children are a joy and gladness? Hey, don't you love your little boy? Isn't he a joy and gladness? I mean, he's just, woohoo, you know, he's just all excited. Little kids don't know anything. They don't know anything. They don't know about all the stuff you're talking about, the economy and, you know, squabbles and whatnot. All they can feel, though, if you're angry. And then they kind of get shaken like that. You know, they don't like that. Like, don't, whatever you're doing. I'll do whatever I have to do to save you. Because I'm trying to keep my world together. Little kids hate it when parents argue. You know, when Peggy and I would be arguing, and I always did it. But whenever we were arguing, I love arguing. The little kids would be there with their eyes big as saucers, you know, just kind of watching you. And I go, boo! They didn't know what to do. This is love. This is a funny kind of love. We're loving each other. This is good. This is a very good thing here. We'll kiss each other afterward. Right now we have to yell at each other, you know. So I didn't hide it from my kids. We didn't go back in the corner and hide, you know. We just did it right there. So our kids had to have a Jesus. They had to, because they couldn't worship us, you know. Because little kids want to know, are you divorcing because of something I didn't do? Is it because I didn't clean my room last week? I'll clean my room, I swear. You know, little kids always take the blame for a divorce. Are you aware of this? Are you all aware of this? Little kids, every little kid in the world will blame themselves. I know when my father, this is your real stories. My father went off to war, he got killed. I killed him. Why? Because he spoke to me the night before he left, and I was so sad that he was leaving, and he tried to get me to laugh, and I wouldn't do it, so I killed him. That's how little kids think. I did that. He wanted me to, you know, hold him and so on. I said, no, Daddy, don't go. And I was unhappy, so I killed him. That's why he died. So God punished me. How smart are little kids? They figure that out. And the parent says, thinking you're smart and brilliant, look, this has nothing to do with you. That doesn't impress a little kid. He doesn't even have a head that's thinking. He has emotions that say, don't do this. What you've just done is violent. What you have just done is violent. Nothing can be more violent to children than for parents to leave each other. They don't care if one's nasty or nice or whatever. They don't care who you are. Just stick together. I've already committed myself to you. Now, I don't want to change. I don't want some new person. I remember when my second father came and the third father and so on. I remember all that because I had to keep readjusting. Like, I'm not going to love you. I remember that. I told my sister, I'm not going to call, the third one was John. I'm not going to call him Dad. I'll just call him John. Me too, she said. So there you had it, you know. We were rebelling from the first moment. Like, who is this interloper? Who's this guy trying to come in and take over? No, we hate him. The fudge is okay, but the rest of it, no. He made fudge, so that was the only good thing about him. And he was smart on that, you know, to kind of win us over with that fudge stuff. Amen. Peg, don't go. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he will be filled with while even in the mother's womb. So much for abortion. Did you hear this? John not only has a name, not only has a sex, a boy, but he is alive. And when Mary's going to come and visit him, he will jump in the womb for joy. Now, how can Mary know that a jump in the womb is a joyous jump? Woo! How does she know that wasn't, you know, gas? Or how does she know what that was? There was no sign on it that said, you know, this is Jesus, the Son of God. But John knew. It's what the Bible says. That little baby already was aware. That's why when we had our kids, we sang to them, we prayed, we talked to them before they were born. And we had the other kids do the same thing when the later ones came. Just come touch the stomach and talk to your little brother. Don't use a baby voice. Just talk normal to him. And, you know, well, you little baby. No, we didn't do that, you know. didn't have any baby voices. Coochie-coo. We didn't do that. We spoke to them scriptures. We had music playing all the time. And when they came out of the womb, they're already used to 9 months of our voice, used to 9 months of scripture. And I don't care what you all think, because there's no science on this. I'm just telling you, I took this John the Baptist thing seriously, that babies in the womb are real persons, people, from the time they're not goo. They're a person. And they already have a soul right then and there. And I don't care what they look like and anything else. So we spoke to them. We immediately filled the womb with songs of joy. I think they hear you. I don't know if they do or not, but I think they do. And so all of our kids are believers today and so on. It doesn't prove anything, but I'm just telling you. They all, you know, they never knew what a phony and a fake I was. I've told them, but it doesn't have any meaning to them. They didn't have any meaning to them. I remember David, after he got back from his honeymoon, I forgot to tell him about the physical part. I just didn't tell him. And I thought, oh boy. I talked all about Jesus and about what marriage means and the covenant. I forgot all about the practical part. I wonder how he's doing, you know, I mean. And so I said to him, I said, Dave, I forgot all about, you know, telling you certain things. And he said, oh, that's okay, Dad. It was fine. Worked out great. Oh, really? He said, yeah, I just did what you and Mom do. Well, how's that? He said, well, I noticed you used to be critical of her, but then you changed. You all don't see the humor of that. That is so powerful. He didn't say Mom changed. He said, I changed. You used to not be, you know, that good, but you changed. And so I just treated Mary like you treat Mom now in Jesus. Wow, that's neat. That's how he solved the problem. Do you see that? That's beautiful. I loved her. Ah, it's perfect. Do you see that? That's so beautiful. I'm amazed at God, how God does stuff that you don't do. Are you not amazed that God will do extra stuff that you're not even, you forgot to do it or, you know, whatever. That's God. Now, the angel speaks all these things about John, tells him that he's going to be the forerunner and the herald and so on and so forth, about Jesus coming. Zechariah opens his mouth. He begins to prophesy, comes home. Elizabeth has the baby. She hides for 5 months before she has this baby. So she's got 4 more months to go. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel, now Elizabeth's not telling anybody that she's pregnant. You know, in 5 months, it's obvious. Okay? And in the 6th and 7th months, you know, you can't hide it anymore. So in the 6th month, when it's going to be obvious and she's not going to be able to hide it with, you know, extra dresses and stuff, then they're going to ask her, hey, you're not pregnant, are you? Me? An old lady like me? You know, she was trying to hide it because she was ashamed. She didn't want anyone to know, and she was scared. Just wait till the thing comes, you know, because even though this is of God, still. And so she was waiting for that baby to come. Well, the angel Gabriel went to Mary and said, hey, hail Mary, full of grace. Karen, Kara, same thing. Full of grace. For you have found favor with God. You found grace with God, you know. And so he's telling her this, and Mary is kind of befuddled. Wow, what is this? Well, that's the scripture back in Isaiah 7th chapter, 14th verse. Behold, a virgin, an Alma, that's you, shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So his name's going to be Emmanuel. And it'll be Emmanuel Josephson. Right? But no, it's not going to be Emmanuel. Because called his name happens over and over again. We'll see that next week when we deal with Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and see that his name shall be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, all that stuff. He's got a lot of names. And then even here, gives another name. So looking here at 24, Elizabeth had her baby, but she didn't have her baby, because in the 26th verse, now in the month 6th was sent the angel Gabriel from God to a city of Galilee, which is named Nazareth, to a virgin. Now that virgin's name is Parthenon. Parthenon, if everybody been to Greece, probably not, but there's a big building there, and it's the most holy building in the Agora, in the Greek city, in the capital, in Athens. And it's called the Parthenon. So it's their most famous building. Well, that means virgin. So this is a virgin, but it doesn't tell you that it's an Alma. But the Old Testament says it's an Alma. But at least she's a virgin. But she is an Alma because she's Jewish and she's married to a man, but she has not had relations with that man. Physically, they haven't come together. And I'm going to counsel today at 3 o'clock. I counsel people, do not be together physically until you're married. You know, stay for a long time. You know, you're not going to marry you tomorrow morning just because of whatever reason. You know, you're going to bear this thing and learn. If you're sleeping together, stop. And, you know, if you've already done something, ask forgiveness. So clean this thing up, just do it right, and learn to do it God's way. How many know that not many people do it God's way? And not many pastors even believe in what I'm just saying, but they're wrong. So you got to go back to God's pattern, and God knows what he's doing. Anyway, and so to a virgin having been engaged, okay? So that word in the Greek language is the same. Engaged, that's not even the right word. It means betrothed. In other words, you are given to a man as his husband, I mean as your husband, and he's given to you, and he's to keep himself, and you're to keep yourself. But you're not yet coming together. So you're already man and wife. That's your husband. And you're his wife. But you haven't come together yet. You have to wait. And the Jewish people had to wait 12 months at least. Could be longer, but it was not less. So there had to be at least that testing period. The reason I'm telling you all this, did you know that's who we are today? Jesus is the husband. We're the wife. And yet, we haven't consummated the marriage yet. Do you see the difference? It's that if something would go wrong in his body, in his bride, and she has any spot or wrinkle that hasn't been covered by the blood, that hasn't been taken care of, rejected. Do you all see that? It's the wise virgins and the foolish knocking, Lord, let us in. Sorry, I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. You never took my blood. You never had any oil. You know, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You're not holy. And so he's looking for a bride without spot or wrinkle. He's not coming back for a bride with spots. Now, I know nobody's teaching this, but I am. I'm going to teach it because it's the truth. And I'm just telling you what the final exam is going to be about. You can't have any spots or wrinkles. So there can't be any hiddenness, any darkness. She hid herself. No hide. Women are hiders. Men are double. So people are full of hide, full of shadows. No, no shadows, no hiding. I don't hide anything. That's scandalous of me not to hide, but I'm not hiding. But I'm the real thing. Even though I can say all those contradictory things about, you know, how bad I am and so on, the truth is I'm actually good. I'm good, but I'm also bad. I'm bad in the flesh, but I'm good in the spirit. Do y'all understand that? I got spots, but I got them covered with the blood. You say, well, that's so cheap, Pastor Jim. I love it. I am cheap, but I'm taking it. Somebody paid expensive for me to take that thing as a free gift. What do you mean cheap? Cost Jesus everything. Yeah, but you didn't pay. Exactly. That's the whole point. I can't pay, didn't pay, couldn't pay. He paid a debt. I couldn't pay. I owed some, but I couldn't pay it. I couldn't be holy. I could be fake. You want me to be fake? I can fake, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to do it. I won't be fake. Whatever you see, that's what there really is. Now, the truth is I do spend time in prayer. I do worship God. I do love my neighbor, and so on. But you don't see that. You don't know that. Now, you might have some experience. But the truth is you just have to believe that because you don't know. So you'll have to know yourself as God. You can't judge by appearance. The only way you could know that I was a man of God, you have to actually know God. You have to actually be told to be here. Because if you just come on your own, you'll leave. But if you come to die and be crushed because I'm just a human being like anybody else, but I happen to be an extraordinary human being, why? Because of my faith in Jesus. That's what makes me extraordinary. And that's what makes you extraordinary. It's not how good you are. Like, well, I'm naturally a good person. Really? Well, stick with me for a while. We'll bring out another side. Because I have that gift, ability to help religious people become nasty. If you're a religious person, I will bust it. There's no way you can. Oh, I tell you, God is so scandalous. He really is. But so she comes to this having been engaged to a man whose name is Joseph, and he's of the house of David. So he's a royal. Now, the other guy was a priest. This guy's a royal. Jesus is going to be both. Son of man, Messiah, will actually be both. Because he's holy, he is the only one that can be a true priest. This is true holiness. Not just holy in himself, but holy for you. Because he's a gift giver, he can be your savior. That's Messiah. But he had to be son of God to be son of man. But also, he's a king. So he's both. He's a priest and a king. So he's the holy one who is a priest, who is a king. A lot of priests are not holy. A lot of kings are not merciful. But you cannot establish your throne except in righteousness and judgment. It has to be holy, it has to be merciful, and it has to be powerful. Now, what would happen if you had a ruler, a political ruler, who had the government upon his shoulders, which we'll read about next week, who had the government upon his shoulders, and he actually was righteous? In other words, he never took care of himself, he only took care of the people. He only took care of the people's interests, that which interested the people, and he neglected his own interest. He defied his own interest. He just totally forgot it and sacrificed himself totally for the good of the people. What if a pastor was like that? What if a politician was like that? We have very few. We have very few. And I can tell you, because I've done that, I can tell you what, you'll be hated, and you'll be lonely, and you'll be isolated, and you'll be misunderstood. I love that. I'm telling you what, I eat that up. When you're a lover, you don't care. What can man do to you? Are you following me? Let him kill me. Let him misunderstand me, whatever. This is a joy. When you're in love with Jesus, it's a joy. Hello? Because if you're not there, you haven't yet been perfected. You've begun, but you haven't finished. You need to be discipled. You need to be broken. Most of the church doesn't even know what that means. But that means getting all the sin out of your life. So there's nothing left but worship to God, pure worship. There's nothing left but love to the brethren. There's nothing left but testimony to a lost and dying world. You live for others. Starts in your family, goes through your church, goes out into the world. How many know that you have a ways to go? You have a ways to go. It could take an hour. And I don't have the time. I have to go to Fort Worth now, but if I could stay another hour, we could probably get rid of the sin of most of the people here. Amen? We could start right here with this brother. How long do you think it would take? Yeah.
Several years.
Years? Oh, no. I was going to do it in an hour. There's no work to be done. There's only a death to die. It doesn't take long to die. All you have to do is give up your life. That'd be the same as trusting God. So that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to transform wicked sinners into righteous saints. I mean, that's his job. He just declares it, and then we killed him. When he did that, as soon as he did that, we killed him. That was such a mistake on the Jewish part. Because they thought they were killing Jesus, which actually what they were doing was purchasing salvation. They didn't even know it. I mean, to their clueless to this day, they don't even know it. When they killed him, he was declaring it, and then they shut him up. But then he affected it. By killing him, they affected it. So now They can be righteous, and how many know that Jesus said, I will restore the Jewish people? They'll be completely restored. The Jewish people will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Did you know that? Not in heaven. Here, now. We haven't even seen that yet. How many know that the synagogue people haven't even joined us yet? They haven't even done it. But they will. Do you all believe God? Do you all believe His Word? The reason He came, and the reason why that's not happening, you know why that's not happening? Because we're not ready. We're supposed to make them jealous. How would any Jew be jealous of us? Oh, I wish I could be a Christian phony like you. Instead, I'm just a Jewish phony. But, you know, a Jewish phony looks at a Christian phony. You know, but if they saw you were actually in love, full of joy, power, majesty, glory, I'll tell you what, they would come. Ah, you have our God. You're playing with our toys. Hey, give it back. We want that back. They're not jealous of us today. They don't see our mercy. They don't see our love because we don't have it for one another. We don't have it for God because we're still entertaining sin. How many are entertaining little sins? Little ones, not big ones, little ones. How many have some little sins in your life? Hardly worth even discussing, but they're there. But they're there, you know? Okay, how many have besetting sins, big ones, you know? Okay, how many have just one sin? I mean, if you could just get rid of that, you'd pretty much be free, you know? One sin. I love it. You have 15. 15. Okay, so, no, it's good. So, you see, all those sins can go in a minute, in a second. It doesn't take years and months and hours and so on. It just takes seconds. All you do is believe. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. You just have to believe it's finished. When He was on the cross, He said, it's finished. What's finished? Your salvation. He purchased it. It was bought. It was paid for. All you got to do is don't take it. But because you don't want to take it, I know something. Ah, you're still not dead to this world. Ah, you still think you can make it without Him. Ah, you don't need Him. Okay. Well, try. Keep going. You're on your own. Well, I'm religious, Pastor. I know, but not true religion. True religion means you don't have any agenda but His. How many? Oh, that's too hard, Pastor Jim. I mean, come on. That's maybe a pastor can do it, but not a regular person. He'll do it. He'll do it. I will stay on your case until you do it. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful pastor to have? I want that kind of a pastor that won't let me go to heaven without purity. Because otherwise you might not make it. So Raul, you're trying to escape. No. You've got to be pure. Amen. Did you know that the Word of God cleanses you?
Amen.
It purifies you. And the Spirit of the living God. That's all you need. You don't need you. You're not so... How many here are too smart for God? I mean, you actually, in your secret heart of hearts, you believe, well, you know, I could be a Christian probably, but I'm awfully strong, and I'm really quite smart. How many are so smart that even God can't outsmart you? No. No. And you're so powerful and strong, and you love sin so much that even God can't take away that love of sin. How many are strong like that? God, I don't know, I have some sins in me that are just awfully strong. I'm sure God is shaking. Wow, you have a big one. I would have never seen one that big. Come on, your sins are nothing. He could just blow on them. But He's wanting not to force you. He wants you to believe. He's just testing you. Forget Obama. Forget the economy and all that stuff. Seek first the kingdom. I'll give you all that. Don't try to seek that stuff, and then you know, if you're happy, you'll join my deal. No. Start with me. I'm first. Put me first. How many know that the best is yet to come? So Mary birthed the Son of God, and the angel told her, He will be called the Son of the Most High God. So He's the Son of God. Yet Jesus will call Himself Son of Man, because the Son of God is the only one that could be the Son of Man, the Messiah. You have to be holy in order to be a priest, in order to be a king, a priest-king. And that is the emperor of this world. The priest-king is the righteous king, Melchizedek, a different kind of priesthood. Melchizedek. Tzedek means righteous. Melka or Melech, That means king. So a king of righteousness. Jesus is the king of righteousness. Why? Because he's the Savior first. What makes him a king powerful is that he's a forgiving, loving king who never does his own agenda like our kings do. Our rulers all take care of themselves first. I mean, as soon as they go into office, they're going to become millionaires. They're going to pollute themselves. They're going to sell themselves. They're going to have some lobbyist pay them off and so on, do it secretly through all kinds of ways. But, you know, and they will never serve you, your interests. They will never. They will talk your interests. But that's just like hypocrisy. Just, yes, yes, I'm totally for you. Yeah, just tell me what your need is. Okay, I'll take that in consideration. I'll put that on the table with the billionaire guy that just gave me, you know, $300 million. You know, and I'll see what I can do about that. They don't care about you. How many know that politicians are all bought off? And even if they're not, they're fools. Let's say the guy wasn't bought off. What a fool. You think you're going to accomplish anything? You'll never accomplish anything because the whole thing is set up. Hello? There aren't a bunch of righteous people out there. They're all sold out to themselves, to their own personal interests. So you got to go and you know, get into their interests, their deal. They don't care about yours. Hello? Isn't that interesting? Don't you think this is funny? So what would you do if you had a king that actually loved you? That'd be like a father. That'd be like a shepherd. Did you know that you should be a shepherd before you're a king? King David was a shepherd first, then he was a king. Jesus was a shepherd, good shepherd. Then he became the king. First he was Savior, then he's Lord. First he's Savior, then he's Lord. Priest, king. But to do that, you have to be holy. That is sent by God, full of God. No flesh in you. You can't be born of the flesh. You have to be born of the Spirit. So that's what God is doing, and that's what we have here. We have a church full of people that believe in God. You believe God died for you? How many believe God created the world? Yes. How many believe that Jesus died for you? Yes. So we're okay there, but now how many believe that Jesus Christ now wants to be Lord of your life where you don't have a life of your own? He just wants to take over your whole life. How many? That's exciting, is that not? And the only reason it would be exciting and the only reason you're not doing it, because you have not yet tasted of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and found it to be bitter. Because when you run your own life, you ruin it. When you run your own life, when you think you're independent and smart and clever and, you know, you're able and you got the right this and the right that, you're wrong. But you haven't tasted the bitterness yet of your way of doing marriage, of your way of doing business, of your way of doing politics, of your way of running the show, of your way of controlling your own tongue. You have not yet learned the bitterness of that fruit. He said, don't do it, but you've done it. Now, you have to come to him as a guilty person and say, God, Pastor Jim is right. I've done all that stuff. I've eaten of that tree. I'm slobbering at that tree. I love that tree. I love to pretend like I know something. How many here are smart? You know, I mean, you're just clever as all get out. And God doesn't think so. God thinks you're ignorant sheep. You know, sheep are not that bright. You know, if one sheep goes over the edge, the other sheep will follow it, the next sheep will follow it, they just keep going. Oh, probably too late to tell anybody. And then, you know, just keep going over, and they just follow butt up to butt, you know, just looking right there, you know, just, well, he did it. That's the way he did it. So I'm just going to follow my parents. I'm going to follow my pastor. I'm going to follow my church. I'm going to follow, you know, follow Jesus. He's the only one that will lead you to good. He's the good shepherd, lead you to good pasture. Quiet. I'm telling you, when you're a Christian, you're in love. Oh, to be loved by Jesus. You don't need a good marriage. Say, I don't want a good marriage. I don't want one. I want Jesus. I don't want a lot of money. I want Jesus. I don't want good health. I want Jesus. I don't want to live. I want Jesus. Well, who's first? Pastor, I'm ready. I don't want anything. I just want Jesus. If you seek first Jesus, you get everything else for free. You don't have to, you know, he'll take care of it. What kind of God do you have? If you yield to men, you'll be hurt. But if you yield to God, put your trust in the Lord. Don't trust in man. Put your trust in the Lord. He wants to give you much more. He said, if you'll just do what I say, if you'll just obey, if you'll just follow me, I'll open the windows of heaven. This nation could turn around. It's not going to probably. But it could. But it's up to you. Who cares about the nation? Let's just start here in our church. This is not so many people, what, 60, 80 people, whatever the thing is. Who cares? Start right here. Start right here today. Who's ready to go all the way with Jesus? Have something birthed in you like was birthed in Mary. Be pregnant with the Holy Ghost. Be pregnant with a new spirit. Not the old spirit of the flesh, but the new spirit, the new wine of the Spirit. Oh, I tell you, it's powerful to have the Holy Spirit in you. And then to follow the priest, forgiving other people as you've been forgiven. And then to be a king, lording it. That is, ruling, using all your power to bless others. Why? Because you're already blessed by Jesus. You've already been blessed by Jesus. How could you ever outgive what God has given to you? The more you give, the more you'll get. You say, no, I don't believe that, Pastor. Okay, that's your flesh. But your spirit does believe it. I'm not speaking to your flesh. I don't care about your flesh. I'm speaking to your spirit. Death to your flesh. The flesh is stupid, foolish. Amen? All right, who's testimony? Who has a testimony? Pastor, this was the word of God. I heard all about Mary and Elizabeth and the girl in the Old Testament. I heard about it all. I'm ready to apply it to my life today. I'm prepared for the Lord's coming again. Because he's coming again, you know. But the first time we weren't ready, but I'm ready.
I'm ready to go all the way. To keep on me, disciple me.
Amen.
I mean, just now, I mean, just from learning about the protocol of prayer the last couple of weeks, I'm finally starting to see that, man, I'm hanging on to the world. I'm just like, I don't want to let go of the world. I'm starting to taste the bitterness of the tree, you know. It's not satisfying me to let go of the world, die.
It's so powerful, Tim.
I'm saying now, finally it's taking that long.
Amen. It's powerful. Who else? That's powerful. 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 I mean, that's true. Who else? Who else? Well, at least you and I, Tim. Amen. 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 Powerful. Amen. Yep.
Come to him, get to him, know that he's it in every aspect, and
yep.
I'm just thankful for him taking care of all of our needs.
Yep.
The best
is yet to come.
Amen.
Hasn't even given you dessert yet. Come on. Eat your peas quick. Get past those. They're fun. Who else? Come on, just make it up, invent it. Yes.
You know, several years ago, I was having some problems, and I just passed my life, you know? And you know, I was praying over you, and this is like, nothing's going to be taken away. I'm going to give you more. And every time, you know, I have issues, you know, problems come up again, I just have to think that.
I love it. I'm going to give you a scripture. In the Old Testament, the word for conception, is also add. Because the seed is added to you, and the power is not in the ground. The power is in the seed. That seed, that word of God that goes in, the logos that goes in. Anyway, who else? Robin. Amen.
Day after day, circumstance after circumstance, and now I'm just seeing the food is overwhelming. I mean, exceedingly abundantly more than I would have ever thought.
It's powerful. I believe that. It's powerful. It's powerful. Who else? You have to be a rotten sinner. This doesn't make any good news unless you're a rotten sinner. He didn't come to save innocent people. He came to save guilty people who had eaten of the tree. You got to be a tree eater. You got to eat that fruit and enjoy it, love it while it's going down, and then suffer the consequences. This is great. It's great. We are still suffering consequences because we are a phony church. We're phony. We're not real. So I'm sorry about that, but you're going to have to go through the same hell I went through. All right, who else? Who else? Who has a testimony? Yes.
I mean, I don't know. I almost can't really talk. Just because the reality It's a gift.
Yep, it's a gift.
But it changes everything.
Everything. I love it. It's good. You're very eloquent in saying nothing. I mean, saying something. Who else? Who else?
It's
come
just
on.
Freedom to know that I'm wicked.
Yeah, it is.
I can only look at him.
Amen. Yep.
Do it because I can't.
Can't. Don't want to, never will. You know, it's not like you're going to get better someday. Jesus is still going to be Jesus. You're still going to be you. But the difference is that you now put your faith in the Lord, in his finished work. He's already finished. This thing is over with. You just haven't seen it. Get in on it before it's over. The fat lady hadn't sung yet because it isn't over. But it's over in heaven. He's already made his decision. He knows by foreknowledge who's going to come and not. But it's up to you. He's not taking that away from you. He knows, yes. But he's saying there's multitudes, so you could be one of those multitudes. He's not going to have an empty house up there. I guarantee you it'll be full. But many, many will perish because they're still eating of the tree, still think this world has it. You know, you're going to get a good mate or a good marriage. Forget the good marriage. Forget the good money, the good whatever. Forget all that. You just need Jesus. Get Jesus, you get everything else. Just start with the rock. Start with the foundation. Rebuild your life on a different foundation. You know what? I'm going to be happy for the rest of my days. I'm just going to rejoice forever. I'm just going to never stop praising God. I'm telling you, it works. Who wants to make that commitment? Amen. Praise God. It's exciting. I mean, I've been such a griper my whole life, and I'm not going to gripe anymore. I've been a critic of other people. I've been judgmental and critical of myself. I've hated myself. I've hated other people. You know, I've hated life. Everything stinks. I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm going to just say everything is great. Everything is wonderful. Couldn't be better. Best day of my life. Who's going to do that? Who's going to do that? Amen. It's powerful. It'll change your life. It'll change people around you. Happiness is a good thing chemically. When you're not happy, it has a bad effect on your physical body. It has a tremendous effect on people around you. When you're happy, it has a good effect. I mean, not phony happy, not because you had a beer or something, but because you're really happy. You're happy because you were a wicked sinner and God forgave you. I'm telling you what, you are free. No one can accuse you because you could agree with them. Yeah, I did all that, but so what? Jesus loves me. Mary had a baby, and that baby came into the world to forgive sinners. And that's why she didn't call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Who cares that God is with us? That maybe he'll spank us. Jesus, he's with us to save us. Then he's with us to lord us. Why? Because he lords people that have been saved, that were going to hell. You had to pay the full price. You had to go to prison forever. And he set you free. He said, hey, you're not going to prison. I want you in my house. Wow. And you're grateful. Wow. What a house. And you look at Christians today, I don't see the joy. I don't see the happiness. I don't see the excitement. It's like they're postponing it. Live like hell as long as you can until you get to heaven and then jump over. I don't think so. I think you better start here now. Let your joy begin today. Peg's saying I have to go. But wait a minute. This Peg, Pam, Peg.
No. Being critical and all this, without
right.
Really seeing his love for these other people.
That's, boy, that's the truth. So powerful. So powerful. And that's what's happening right now in the world. You have to love Muslims. You have to love people you don't normally like. Obnoxious people. Killers who hate your guts. You have to love people that despise you. So what? You got Jesus that loves you. Who cares? How much can man do? What can man do to me? Nothing. Nothing. The answer is nothing. You are blessed. What God has blessed, how can it be cursed? So they killed Jesus. He jumped up in a couple days. Hi, guys. That it? That's all you can do? My gosh, I thought you had power. You see, Jesus wasn't scared. He's never nervous. He never ran. He never was, you know, scared or worried. He's happy all the time. Is it wrong? Is it evil to be happy all the time? I'm not talking about superficial. I'm talking about deep down. I'm not talking about you can't cry. I'm talking about deep down there's a joy in you. Is that wrong? Is that evil to be happy all the time? To, you know, hey, everything's going my way. Everything is going my way. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Is that wrong? Is that impossible? Is that something you can't do? A pagan can't do it. I know that. I'm not telling pagans to do it, but the Christians ought to have some light. There ought to be some life. There ought to be some joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. Who else? Somebody else. I'm sorry. There's somebody else has a testimony. Yes, Sally.
The Lord showed me recently. First of all, I was always a performer. And, you know, I jumped through the hoops and rang the bells and everything for everybody. And you destroyed that. Thank God. And I never, ever, ever understood how much He loves me until I didn't perform anymore. Because now I'm just the rotten person I am, and I understand how much He loves me.
Yeah.
But also, He showed me recently that I'm a real visual person, and so I just see these little pictures in my head. And I just saw my life as a tapestry. I don't know if I told you in Bible study or not, but this tapestry, and it wasn't finished. But I have all these regrets. You know, I still do. I mean, when I sin, when I do things I shouldn't do, you know, I'm like, you know, life would be so much better if I hadn't have done this or said that or whatever. And I saw this tapestry in front of me and all these beautiful colors all woven together in this tapestry. And it was being woven as I was looking at it. And the Lord just spoke to me and He said, that's our lives. Our life is a tapestry. And all those things that happened before and all those things that happen now, He works all them together for good because they're all woven into the colors of who we are in Him. And eventually, that tapestry will be finished.
Yeah.
And it will include all those things that He's redeemed in our lives that made this beautiful.
Powerful. That's precious. Did you ever see the backside of a tapestry?
Yeah, it's horrible.
It's all confusion, a tangle, a mass. You know, not at all pretty. There's no beautiful picture. But when you look from God's side, God, the way God looks at you, it's all beautiful. Love y'all. Yeah. Okay. Tom will listen to you. The best is yet to come. Yahoo! Hey, bro.
It's good to see you still home, huh?
Good to see you. Woohoo!